Man, man, man. God is good all the time. So good to be here with you today, come hang out with you. And I don't know, I love coming to church. Can I hear a good amen? If you don't, two of our series, we've been talking about Christian Stoicism. And Stoicism is an ancient way of living. It's an ancient philosophy that teaches us, or it taught people back in the day how to just really be stone cold. That's what that means, Stoicism. It talks about courage, self-discipline, justice, and wisdom. It talks about just no matter what life throws you, like, I'm just going to serve God. Like, I'm not going to get crazy excited. I'm not going to get really, really calm. I'm just going to be stone cold, man. I just live life trusting God. It is everything that I am not. But I think it can help and can challenge all of us. Last week, we talked about courage. Everybody say courage. How many of you know we need more courage from the Christian church in the world we live in today? People are courageous about their beliefs, but somehow when it comes to our Christianity, we're not real courageous about our faith. We don't stand up about our faith. I mean, they'll stand up. The government will stand up for what they believe in. The left-wing liberals will stand up for what they believe in. The conservatives will stand up for what they have courage. And I'm just telling you, if you want God's blessing in your life and you want the best that God has for you and I, we can't just be a quiet, mealy-mouthed little church mouse who comes to church on Sunday and checks our religious box. Come on, somebody. We have to be courageous about our faith. I want to talk to you a little bit about courage, because we need to define this and talk about it. On the courage spectrum, on one end, you just got cowards. They're just cowards. They won't say nothing. They're just cowards. They won't say anything. But on the other end of the spectrum, you have people who are just reckless with their courage. Anybody remember back in the day when you drank a little liquid courage? Come on, somebody. Or you smoked something that gave you courage, and you were just reckless, and you were stupid, and you did it all in the name of courage and bravery. But what you did is you hurt yourself and you hurt others around you. We need to find this sweet spot right here in the middle where we're not reckless, where we're not cowards. And what helps us find the sweet spot is this: self-discipline. It's what I'm going to talk to you about today, about self-discipline. Disciplining yourself, disciplining your actions, taking discipline over your emotions, disciplining yourself and meeting in the middle here at the sweet spot. And so here's what I want to say to you today. Courage is putting your butt on the line for what you say you believe in. Courage is putting your butt on the line. I'm laying it out there. If this offends you, so what? I'm a Christian. If you quit following me on Instagram, so what? I'm a Christian. I have courage. I'm going to raise my family. I'm going to homeschool my kids. We have courage is putting our butt on the line for what we say we believe in. Self-discipline is keeping your butt on the line for what you say you believe in. It's easy sometimes for us to have courage, step out and do something, but the minute we start taking shots and the minute we start taking heat and the minute somebody opposes us, we'll shrink back. Courage is putting your butt on the line. Self-discipline. How many know discipline sometimes sucks? Can I hear an amen? Even the writer of Hebrews said it. Hebrews 12:11. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. Like it hurts, it's painful, but afterwards. After you and I learn to practice self-discipline, afterwards there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. I just think it's something that we need in our world today. It's something we need in our marriage. It's something we need in the way we parent. It's something we need. It's self-discipline. It's giving everything that we've got. If you know me, one of my favorite scriptures forever has been this: whatever you do, do work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Self-discipline is this: I'm going to serve God every day. I'm going to serve my family every day. Giving God with passion, serving God heartily means in the things that are boring, in the things that are menial, in the things that seem to not matter, in the little bitty things of life. How many of you know if we want to be great in life, it's not doing these huge, grandioso things. It's being faithful every day to love God. It's being faithful to be a husband. It's being faithful to be a wife. It's being faithful to live on courage. We should do everything every day with passion, not to get the reward of people, but to know we're serving God, and God will reward us for that. Self-discipline is every day. I'm going to tell you a quick little story right quick. There's a story in the Old Testament. It's a really famous Bible story. It's about this young shepherd boy named David. He was young. He was the youngest of his brothers. His brothers talked down to him like big brothers can do. Come on, somebody. And this little shepherd boy, he was faithful to stay home and take care of his daddy's sheep. His brothers were in the king's army. His brothers, they joined. They were soldiers. They were out fighting battles. They were out doing all this fun, cool, manly stuff. And little David was at home taking care of sheep, taking care of goats. The story in the Bible, it plays out like this. One day, God's army, David's brothers and King Saul, they're standing across the field from this huge Philistine army. They're about to have war, and this one Philistine giant, big giant named Goliath, comes out every day, and he says, "Israel, y'all suck. Y'all are a bunch of Jews. You're no good. We'll kick your butt. Your God is weak." This giant just talks trash to them. And you know what happens to them? They've shrunk back. They've lost their courage. They're not willing to fight. They're not willing to do anything. And one day, this little shepherd boy comes over here bringing his brothers some snacks from back home. And the little shepherd boy says, "What are y'all doing letting this guy talk to us like that? What are y'all doing? Don't you know who your God is?" And the little shepherd boy says, "I'll go out and fight." He takes courage, said, "I'll fight." And they're like, "No, dude, you can't do that. You're just young. You're too small. You're too immature. You don't know how to fight." They tell him no. And David says, no, "I'll go fight." Watch how this story plays out. 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 36. "But David persisted, 'Let me go.' He said, 'I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. And when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after him with a club, and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch him by the jaw, and I club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defiled the armies of the living God." It's an awesome story, and the reason that I tell you that story when I'm talking about self-discipline is this. The reason that David was victorious on the big battlefield that day is because he chose self-discipline in the back of the field, taking care of sheep and taking care of goats and doing the things that were boring and doing the things that nobody cared about and doing the things that his father had called him to do. And if you and I are going to be great at whatever God is calling us to, we're going to have to take care of the little things and learn self-discipline every day. That's what brought David victory. And I'm gonna tell you something today. I'm gonna talk to you about a couple of areas of self-discipline. And I'm gonna be really frank with you today. Are you ready for that? Can I hear a good amen? I'm not gonna beat around the bush. I want you to know right up front, please do not be offended at what I say. I am not saying that you don't have struggles. I'm not saying that it's not hard for you, but I'm going to talk to you about two areas that I have seen over the past 22 years where Satan kicks the church's butt, where Satan comes into your life, where Satan comes into your family, where Satan comes into your marriage. I'm going to talk to you about these two issues, and they're touchy issues. They're touchy subjects, but how many know we're going to take courage and we're going to go for it today? Come on, somebody. The first thing I'm going to talk to you about is this, because here's the deal. Both these situations I'm going to talk to you about, you know what we want to fix them? You know what we want? We want an easy button or an easy pill. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, that's our culture. That's our society. It's in America. If something's wrong, we go to the doctor. If something's messed up, you know what? We want it to be easy. We don't want to have any self-discipline. We want somebody to give it to us. We want to give enough money. We want to trade for a pharmaceutical. We want to listen to a shrink. We want to, no, listen to me. If you want changes in your life, you got to work for it, y'all. You got to have some self-discipline. My God is a God that can deliver. My God is a God that can heal. My God is a God that can set free. Nothing is impossible with my God. And I really believe that over the last 22 years of preaching, I have seen God touch people, deliver people, heal people, set them free in the middle of a church service. But because they don't choose a life of self-discipline once they leave the church, they don't continue to walk in the healing or the deliverance that God has given them. I am preaching the paint off of the walls in this place today. Because once God does something, then the responsibility falls on you and I to have a life of self-discipline that will keep us lined up with His Word. A couple things I want to talk to you about today. I'll just tell you straight up. Mental health and physical health. That's where we're going today. Mental health and physical health. Mental health is a situation that is discussed all across our nation today. It's all across our country. It's all across our culture. It is everywhere. I am not saying that mental health is not real. I am not saying that you don't struggle with mental health, but I am about to open the Word of God. How many of you know the Word of God is living and active and powerful? The Word of God is the answer for everything. I'm going to open the Word of God and show you how we can overcome our mental illness through the Word of God and through self-discipline. It just is. Because here's the deal. Proverbs 25:28. A person without self-control, without self-discipline, is like a city broken down with broken down walls. In biblical times, cities had walls around them so that the enemies couldn't come in. But when the walls fell down, the enemy could freely come in. Steal, kill, and destroy. And when we don't have self-control and when we don't have self-discipline, we have allowed the protection to fall down out of our life and the enemy can come in and do whatever he wants to do with us. The first thing I'm going to talk to you is the mental health, the way we think. I mean, the way we think, y'all. How many of you know our minds are powerful? Can I get a good amen? Our minds are more powerful than what we give them credit. Our minds, here's where the battle is. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. We are in a spiritual battle. We are in spiritual warfare. And the enemy is out there and he has demons and he has evil spirits and he's coming to get in our mind and get us jacked up right here. Get us jacked up right here. You know what? I mean, I love things. I love pickups, I love horses, I love money, I love steak, I love cooking. There's so many things I love, but at the end of the day, if I can just keep my mind right and keep my family's mind right and I can just enjoy the blessings that God has given me, if I can keep my mind right and keep my mind focused on God the Father and everything He's done, that is a game changer in my life. And it's a game changer in your life as well. We have to control what we think. Self-discipline. There's a story, another story in the Bible. It's about that young boy, David. Now this young boy, David, who killed the giant, now he's become the king. He is King David. He is at home, and King David walks up to his rooftop one day. And as he walks up on top of his roof, he looks over into his neighbor's backyard. Lo and behold, his neighbor's wife is bathing naked in the backyard. Her name is Bathsheba. Bathsheba is a beautiful, beautiful woman. David immediately turns and walks away. If I go ahead and tell you the whole rest of the story, David, here's what happens. Later in the day, David walks down the stairs of his house, out his front door, over to Bathsheba's house, whose husband is not there, knocks on the door, goes in, he commits adultery, he has an affair with his neighbor's wife. Here's what I want you to see today. Here's what I hope you can understand. Was it a sin that David just accidentally walked out on his rooftop and saw Bathsheba naked? Absolutely not. That was a total accident. I want you to see this. Here's where sin came in, and here's where he gave into his lust, and here's where the enemy destroyed David. David wouldn't quit thinking about it. He kept rolling over in his mind. Boy, she looked pretty good. Boy, her husband's gone off in the battlefield. Man, she's younger than my wife. Man, nobody would ever know. He kept entertaining the thought. He kept running it through his mind. And the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. If we keep thinking about something, sooner or later, we will give in to that something. And you and I, we get it in our mind that we're mistreated. We get it in our mind that we're never going to make it. We get it in our mind that we're never going to be healthy. We get it in our mind that I'm never going to find a spouse. We get all these negative things that I'm unworthy, that I'm not good enough, that I can't make it, that I'm overwhelmed, that anxiety has come in. And we mull it over and over and over and over and over again until it consumes us and we become what we were thinking. Much like David. The mind is the battlefield, and the mind is so, so powerful. I'm a mental guy. Man, my kids and my wife, they start getting a little cold. I said, no, you ain't sick. Don't start that crap. Nuh-uh. Don't even speak it. I start feeling bad. They said, something wrong with you? I said, nope, ain't nothing wrong with me. Because I know the power of our minds. You see, our minds, We can train our minds. We can overcome a weak mind. And I don't want to call you weak-minded, but if you're weak-minded and the shoe fits, you got to wear it and you got to recognize it and you got to go, I'm going to strengthen my mind. I watch Connor and Darren, who work here. They go to the gym at like 5 o'clock every morning. Dumbest thing I ever seen in my life. They sweat with a bunch of other stinky men in front of the mirrors and watch themselves. And I'm joking, but I see them. Their muscles are getting bigger. Their pecs are getting bigger. I see them working out properly, and when they work out properly, it makes them stronger. But I was talking to Darren last week, and we were talking about working out improperly. And he said, if you work out improperly and you don't have good form, what happens is you will injure yourself, and then you can't work out at all. Then you're injured. Can I tell you something? That's much the way our minds are. If we work out our mind in an improper way, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, this is never going to work. Oh, I'm totally overwhelmed. Oh, nobody likes me. Oh, my marriage is never going to work. It will injure us because we were never meant to walk around thinking doom and gloom. We were meant to walk around and live our life like our King has risen from the grave and can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think. And if we go around and improperly train our minds, it will injure us and injure our relationships. But if we go around and train our mind right, I am a child of the Most High God. I belong to Jesus. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. I will run through a troop, leap over a wall. Ain't no doubt. If we train our mind correctly, our mind will get stronger. And we need to be strong-minded in the world that we live in today. Because our mental health and control our minds. And I'm not saying it's not a struggle. But Scripture teaches us that we have the mind of Jesus Christ. Not the mind of my mama. Not the mind of a crazy person. Not the mind of my daddy. We have the mind of Christ. Scripture teaches us that when negative thoughts and thoughts from the enemy come into our mind, we have discernment to know the difference in the word of God and the word of the enemy or the word of the world. We have power to catch those thoughts and to cast them out in the name of Jesus Christ. We have power to renew our minds. I'm just telling you, if we learn to renew our minds and strengthen our minds, it will change every area of your life. Because here's what's happened. Here's point number two. We get sick in our minds. And the next thing that happens is we get sick in our body, our physical health. I'm just telling you, y'all, as a society and as a nation and as a culture, we are unhealthy physically. And nobody wants to talk about it because we're afraid we're going to offend someone. We're afraid we're going to hurt someone. Well, you know what? The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. So I am willing to wound you in order for you to be able to heal properly and recognize that you need to start taking care of your mind and taking care of your body. Our bodies are, listen to this, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. Your body, my body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That blows my mind. The Bible says God doesn't made in houses made by human hands. Like we come to church and we think God lives here. No, God don't live here. God lives inside of me and God lives inside of you. This is, God chose for this to be his temple, a place where he resides. My wife loves our house. She actually thought yesterday we were going to have company, and so she was running around all day long like a chicken with her head cut off trying to fix up her house so she could host everybody well. If we know that we're going to have a visitor come live inside of us and it's the Spirit of the living God, shouldn't we run around like the chicken with our head cut off making sure that our body is clean and prepared to carry the presence of God? It just is. I'm telling you, it's killing us. The way we steward our body physically, it matters, y'all. And we live in this society, and our society's sick. Jennifer has a nephew who is in the hospital in Lubbock. And so we went up there to visit him a couple of weeks ago. And we're just standing there, and I'm a people watcher, you know what I mean? We're in the hospital, the place where, you know, you're supposed to get well and you're supposed to be healthy. And I'm just watching people, man. And people are so obese. They are so overweight. They are so sick. I mean, constantly, man. We live in the greatest nation in the world. And they're running people in there, taking, you know, they're dying. They got this sickness. They got that sickness. They got heart disease. They got high blood pressure. We got cancer. We got messed up stomachs. They're just selves physically. And I'm just challenging you today. I'm not telling you to go on a diet. I'm not telling you to call 1-800-JENNY-CRAIG. I'm not telling you to go home, you know, and drink water the rest of your life. I'm not telling you to be a vegan. None of that stuff. I'm just saying be conscious about your body. Your body matters. Take care of your body. See, there's another story in the Old Testament. This guy named Daniel. Daniel and he had three friends. His three friends' name were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel and his three friends, they were taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar. That's a nice way of saying they were common slaves. They were four boys that were slaves. Just do the dirty work. Wash the floor. Do what I tell you to do. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, he wants to get them strong and he wants to get them really built up so they can work hard, and he offers them the choicest of foods. But the problem was those foods had been offered up to other idols and to false gods. And Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had courage and they said, you know what? We're not eating foods that have been offered up to a false god. We're not going to do it. You're not going to make us do it. They chose self-discipline. They put their butt on the line and they kept their butt on the line. And here's what I want you to see. Daniel 1:15. At the end of 10 days, they're only eating vegetables. They're not eating these choice foods. At the end of 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the foods assigned by the king. I'm just saying here, God honored them when they said, we're not taking any kind of food into our bodies that would defile our body. They said, we're not. They chose to eat healthy, and at the end of the day, they were stronger. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, would love to be stronger and more physically fit? You could be better. Then you know what? You got to work at it. You got to work at stewarding our health and our bodies has absolutely changed my family's life. If you know me, I woke up 10 years ago, and I weighed over 200 pounds. I was a chubby little fat little thing, boy. I ain't lying. Soft as I've ever been in my life. I couldn't function. I couldn't think. My back was hurting. I had all these problems. And you know what? I had this encounter. I'll tell you the story. I had an encounter one time with the Lord at a motel in Austin. I know most of you think the Lord doesn't go to Austin, but he does. He spoke to me in Austin. We'd been swimming all day long, and I'd been throwing my kids in the swimming pool. It's when the kids were little. And I started to get up the next morning before everybody else was up. It was dark. My back was hurting. I couldn't sleep. I stood up about 3 o'clock, and I was dizzy, man. And I just sat back down on the bed, and I was like, what the crap? I'm 40. What's going to get a hold of your body and your health? Because here's what the Lord said to me. The Lord said to me, Cody, I'm going to use you to spread the gospel and the kingdom of God all across West Texas. You're going to plant churches in different towns. I'm going to use you. I have great, mighty things for you, Cody, but you're never, ever going to experience them if you don't start taking care of your body and your health, because you're not going to live long enough to see what I got. I'm going to tell you something. That's an eye-opener for old Cody right there. It was an eye-opener, and I went home, and I started walking. I couldn't run. I started walking in cut-off Levi's and flip-flops, man. And I started running. I started eating better. Just started eating better. Started eating better. Started eating clean. Quit, you know, push. Start out. Quit drinking soda pops. They suck. You energy drinks suck. You do not drink energy drinks. Do you hear me? They are unhealthy. They will poison your body. They'll poison your mind. Just quit eating a gallon of Bluebell ice cream at night. Come on, y'all. Just get one helping of the peach cobbler. Like, do something. Start getting healthy. It changed my life. Jennifer was sick. I don't know if y'all remember or not. I'm talking about sick for about a year. And I mean, she's losing weight. She's shriveled down to nothing. We can't even function in our homes. We've been to the doctors. We've been trying to look for pills. We've been getting all these scans done and all this colonoscopy. And the doctors say nothing's wrong, but she's still throwing her guts up 3 days a week, and we can't even function. Through some connections and through some friends of ours and some doctors, they said, you got to change her diet. This stuff right here. And so you know what? I'm telling you, we prayed for her. I got the kids. I said, get the oil, kids. Come on. I'm sick of your mama being sick. Get the oil. I said, come on, here we go. I got both boys and Clara in there. And boy, we just slathered her up in oil, boy. Sitting in the living room, I laid hands on her, boy, and I prayed like I was sending that devil right straight back to hell, boy. I got through praying. Clara, just big old tears rolling down her eyes. She said, Daddy, I ain't never heard you pray like that before. But I'm telling you, we prayed. And from that moment on, I believe this, I believe God healed her. And then we chose to live a life of self-discipline, to push away the groceries and to push away the foods that were hurting her and damaging her gut. And because she's continued to live a life of self-discipline, she has stayed healthy. And that is out there, and it's available for all of us. Come on, y'all. I'm saying it one more time. How much time have I got? Whew, I got to hurry. Katie Grace and Darren, they fitting to get married, y'all. Woo! I don't know whether to say poor Darren or poor Katie Grace because they both a handful. I'm just saying. But I've been watching them steward their body and eat better. They're trying to get healthy. They're trying to get fit as they enter into marriage, and they're losing weight, and they're trimming up, and they're getting energy. It's admirable, y'all. And I see the Lord using them in a great way. Bottom line is this. A life choosing to be self-disciplined will change everything. Choosing a life. And I say that to you because I need you to give me 3 minutes. Look. You have to choose self-discipline. You as to why you can't quit thinking this way. You can make excuses as to why you're unhealthy and unfit. You can blame everybody else. But here's what I want you to see through the Word of God today. God has already given you and I self-discipline. He has given it to us. We possess it. We own it. We have self-discipline. We just have to choose to access it and use it. Watch this. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but he's given us a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Did you hear that? You have it. If you are a child of God, God has given you self-discipline. You must access it, pull it out of the toolbox, and begin to use it in your life. How many of you are filled with the Spirit of the living God in here today? Say yes. We're washed in the blood. We're filled with the Spirit of God. Watch what happens here. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. If the Holy Spirit lives in us, this is the fruit that it produces. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and help me out here.
Self-control.
The Holy Spirit gives you and I self-control. There is no law against these things. Say it to you again. Being elite in life, being an overcomer, being victorious, overcoming the things that hold you down. You don't have to be great and mighty, and it's not some big, huge thing. You just have to have self-discipline every day. And then you create healthy habits. Self-discipline creates healthy habits. Healthy habits create a healthy life, a healthy mind, and a healthy body. It all starts with discipline. No one in life ever, think about this with me, and I'm done. Worship team, y'all can come help me. No one has ever been successful in life without self-discipline. No one. It doesn't happen. Life's a struggle. I think about heroes. You know what? I think it's healthy to have heroes. It's healthy to have people to look up to. And the people that are my heroes and I look up to them, man, they had great, great self-discipline. Little habits. I think about whether you like him or not, I see these videos. I think even his critics bragged on the self-discipline of Kobe Bryant. How discipline to give it all he's got. I think about the rodeo world. Think about Trevor Brazil, king of the Cowboys, man. Discipline from a very young age. I knew him when he was 10 years old, and he was working harder and lifting weights because he was small and he was little and he wasn't strong. And from 10 years old, he's self-disciplined every day. All these guys up here, man, they work so hard. You don't learn to play the guitar one day. You got to be disciplined. And I know them. They're my kids. But yesterday, Will said, we went to the dance last night. Me and my wife, we tried to get Will to go. He said, I think I'm going to go to church. I need to tune my drums. I need to practice a little bit tonight. Self-discipline. Jesse plays that bass. I don't know if y'all know enough. That brother is bad on that bass back there. At night, he gets in his room. He plays bass. Self-discipline. Self-discipline. Over and over again, man. It's what changes us. It's what helps us experience greatest things that God has for us. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. We're going to do something. Then we're going to close with a song of worship. As I stand here today, my words mean nothing. But when I speak the word of God, there's power in the word of God. So I want to speak to the people in here today who are struggling with mental health, whose minds are being destroyed by the enemy, whose minds have become weakened because of the attacks and whatever it might be. I speak to that, and I speak the word of God, and I say that the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. I speak that by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. I speak that today, that nothing shall be impossible for our God. So, Lord, I pray for the people who are mentally sick. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name that is above every name, the name that causes demons to flee, the name that causes sickness to go, I pray right now for everyone in here who has mental health issues and mental illness that they be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. That some of us, for the first time in the last 10 or 12 years, our minds are going to be clear. Our minds are not going to be clouded. For the first time in years, we're not going to look back. We're not going to blame anybody else. We're going to be right here, right now, in this moment with a renewed mind, with a mind focused on God. Right now, in this moment, we will take on the mind of Jesus Christ. Lord, touch and heal and do what only you can do. Do what a psychiatrist can't do. Do what a pill can't do. Let us put our faith in you today and declare that we are the healed of the Lord. For the people that are physically sick in here, God, we claim and we pray and we speak in the name of Jesus that same healing power would come on them. That right now, God, cancers would be dried up. That right now, blind eyes would see. That right now, God, you would heal and restore your people right now. Because our body is your temple and you want us to be healthy and fit and live our best life for your glory, God. Touch and heal. In Jesus' name. And now, God, we receive it. We receive healing mentally. We receive healing physically. And now, God, my final prayer is that you would flood this place with your Holy Spirit, that you would fill us up afresh. You would fill us up a full with the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. That you would fill us up with the Spirit that drives out fear. You would fill us up with the Spirit that gives us a sound mind and self-discipline. That you would fill us up with the same Spirit that produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and self-discipline, Lord. Now that you've healed us and now that you've delivered us, Lord, I pray that you would empower us when we leave here to continue to choose self-discipline. That we would choose self-discipline in our thoughts. That we would choose self-discipline in our daily habits. That we would choose self-discipline as we steward our bodies. We ask you to infill us and empower us. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Y'all, stand on your feet. We're going to sing a song of worship and we're going to close the service out with that. We're going to seal it over our hearts. Sing like you love the Lord. Sing like you're the healed of the Lord.